Welcome to the fourth and final episode in this series of four podcasts for Advent from St. Augustine's College of Theology. In this series, we're exploring some of the Old Testament prophets to hear what they have to say that speaks into our current situation in this season of Advent. Thomas has led us through a reflection on a passage in Zephaniah in which we're encouraged to rejoice irrespective of what is going on around us. Alan has introduced us to Isaiah's encounter with the living God, which transforms him and the direction of his life completely. Jenny has reflected with us on a passage from Ezekiel in which those in power are instructed to recognize God's rule and therefore use their power for the good of others rather than just for their own benefit. In this reflection, we're going to consider two passages from Isaiah and Zechariah. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I love Advent. It's a season of the year which encourages us to look both backwards to Christ's first Advent or arrival here, and look forward into the future towards his second Advent. I love the sense of tension that this creates between the now and not yet, between the fulfilled and the unfulfilled, between the gift already given and the promises whose completion remains outstanding, and the idea that the one who is our Redeemer is still to return again to set everything right. Our experience of Advent stands in contrast to the experience of the Old Testament prophets. All of their prophecies looked forwards. If you were to imagine a 360-degree screen with you standing in the centre of it and all of the Old Testament prophecies being projected onto that screen so that you could see each in turn as you turned around, you'd see that there are very few clues as to when the fulfilment of any given prophecy stands in time. Everything would be on the screen, but with almost no foreground. Sometimes their prophecies are fulfilled almost immediately, sometimes it's a matter of hundreds of years later, and many of them remain as yet, as far as we can tell, unfulfilled. Isaiah's encounter with the living God was life-changing. Just as the Old Testament prophets called God's people to a life-changing encounter with the living God, they also call us to encounter the living God afresh today. Our two readings speak of two Advents. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, both Matthew in chapter 21, verse 5, and John in chapter 12, verse 15, cite our verse from Zechariah proposing that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Listen again to Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. At Jesus' first advent, he entered Jerusalem in a kingly fashion on a donkey. When coming in peace, Jewish kings from David onwards rode on a donkey rather than a war horse. Zechariah calls the people to recognize their king, the one who comes to his people lowly and riding on a donkey. But more than this, Zechariah cries out and encourages the people to rejoice greatly, to shout with joy because their king is coming to them. Listen how Zephaniah and Zechariah's prophecies chime with one another. This is Zephaniah, as read to us previously by Thomas. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart. This is Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Moreover, Zechariah sets out the character of the one who is coming. He is just and having salvation. In Jesus' time, the Jewish nation was labouring under the weight of the oppression of the Roman Empire. An empire and system which sought to bend everything that it touched into a shape that fitted its own immorality, its illegalities, and its requirement for tribute and unwavering obedience. Zechariah's prophecy tells the people that their king will come to them as one who is just and having salvation. At his first advent, Jesus brought salvation. And as we look back this Advent season to Jesus' first Advent, we acknowledge the salvation that he has brought about for everyone who will receive it. Let's turn to Isaiah's prophecy. Here the character of the one who is to come is different. His person is rooted in their history. A rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. He comes endued or empowered with the Spirit of the Lord, which is manifest through his wisdom and understanding, his counsel and might, his knowledge and his fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear or reverence of the Lord, and in contrast to Zechariah's prophecy of lowliness, he comes to judge. The justice and the judgment of the coming one will not be based solely on what he can see himself, or what is reported to him by eyewitnesses, or what he hears himself or is reported to him as hearsay. His justice and judgment will be wholly righteous. They will take into account every piece of evidence. The point is, the judgment of the one who is coming stands in complete contrast to all the judgments issued up to that point, including those issued now. I wonder if we really understand what this might mean. Isaiah says, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." Equity is not the same as equality. Equality is simply giving everyone the same thing. Equity is giving each person what they need in order that righteousness and justice are seen to be done. Those who need justice meted out for them will receive it in full. Those whose behaviour requires that justice is meted out upon them will receive it in full, because Isaiah tells us that the one who is coming shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath he shall slay the wicked. Furthermore, this righteousness in both judgment and justice characterize him so much that they are as much a part of his person as the clothes he wears. He is never seen without them. Isaiah says, "Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." The one whose advent, or arrival if you like, Isaiah is foretelling, strides into the world and everything changes. There's not much lowliness here. There is, however, a gentleness which comes with this person and invades creation. Listen to these unlikely couplets. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. A nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. How can this be possible? What can possibly have taken place that such that creation is so transformed that the natural order we all recognize as normal is set aside? It's simple, says the Lord, through Isaiah. It's because, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'd like to suggest to you that this is not just the knowledge of the Lord, as some abstract thing covering the earth and everything and everyone in it like a blanket. The word God speaks through Isaiah is full or filled. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Just as the ocean fills every depth, every cave, every trench, every hollow, every crack and crevice in the seabed, coral reef, cliff edge and rock pool, when this person is present, the knowledge of the Lord, who he is, what he stands for, what he requires, and what he has done, will fill every element and being in creation to overflowing. Perhaps you feel that this is all well and good for the people to whom Isaiah is prophesying. However, the good things Isaiah is describing are ours too, because, amazingly, we too are present in this prophecy of Messiah. And in that day shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. If Zechariah looks forward to Christ's first advent, riding into Jerusalem in peace, having salvation with him, Isaiah presents one clothed in righteousness and justice like a garment, who comes to enact equity and justice for everyone, whatever that means. Mercy for those who cry out for it, and judgment on all who deserve it. Someone whose very presence changes everything. As you reflect on the Christ of each Advent, I hope you can see how God's righteousness and justice is reflected in both Advents, and then experience for yourself the challenge of Isaiah's encounter with God to be transformed this season through your own encounter with the living God. To revisit and reflect on Ezekiel's words, which challenge each of us to examine our own consciences to ensure that we are using the power that we possess for the good of others rather than our own betterment. And lastly, to rediscover the glorious truth announced by Zephaniah that it is possible to rejoice, whatever our circumstances or context, because our God is with us. As you look backwards and hope forwards this Advent, and as you reflect on the prophets to whom we have listened, my prayer is that the knowledge of the Lord will seep further into every crack and crevice of our souls, such that we too are so transformed by our encounter with the living God that we cannot only rejoice in the salvation won through Christ's advent, but we also become those who both hope and actively seek his appearing.